Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a mom of three kids, ages 2, 5, and 7, and I live in Southern California.
And I'm Megan. I am the mom of 5 kids, ages 6 through 17, and I live in Michigan. This is the Mom Hour, part of the Life Listened Network.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 38 of the Mom Hour. I'm Sarah Powers, and I am here, as always, with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah. Good evening to you.
Good evening. Yes, for the first time, we are recording this in the evening hours, early evening out here on the West Coast, a little later for you. I think we can virtual cheers with our glass of wine.
Yeah, absolutely. Clink.
And yeah, not only that, but normally, Megan, you and I are in touch all the time by like text and email. But as of recording this, I feel like we haven't talked in like several days.
No, it's been a while. Yeah,
we're catching up. So I actually have no idea what's going on in your life. No. And so today will be fun.
We're virtual strangers.
Yes, we're virtual strangers. So today's topic is, this is kind of crazy. We've had a few requests from listeners to talk about pregnancy and birth, which is a wonderful topic, obviously, for moms. And we have a lot of listeners who are newer moms. But the funny thing is, you and I have not been pregnant or given birth super recently.
Together? Oh, okay. Yes.
Not in a few years. And yeah. I kind of like resisted this topic a little bit at first. I was like, well, what do we have to say?
What do we have
because
to offer?
Like, we're out of the loop.
Yeah. Well, the thing isn't it funny? I mean, the thing is, yes, women have been getting pregnant and giving birth the same way, you know, besides some medical intervention type things for many, many, many years. And yet I do feel a little irrelevant when it comes to the whole thing. I feel like the apps didn't exist when I, you know, how did anyone get pregnant without apps?
Or like the Facebook announcements.
Like
the social media protocol.
Yes.
But we have had the request more than once, and we have a lot of listeners who are like pregnant with their second. So
yeah.
What the heck, right? We thought it'd be
fun
to kind of look back on our own pregnancies. And I think we had very different pregnancies and births,
yeah,
so that'll be kind of fun.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to get into today. Just if you're new to us, all of this is always at themomhour.com, and you'll find everything. If we link to anything or we talk about anything and you didn't catch it, don't worry. It'll be right there. But first, we have our regular segment, which I'm actually going to call a regular segment from now on.
Except and this is the first time we've done it.
This is the first time we've done it, but it's okay. Really just the evolution. It is the launch of what will be a very regular segment.
Okay.
But as you guys know, if you're longtime listeners, we sometimes kind of like peek into our Instagram or sometimes we share a product with you. We've never had a cohesive plan for any of this. So I'm now officially calling it What's Happening in Your House This Week, Megan. And you can tell me about what you've been up to, what's coming up for you. And then if there's an Instagram or a product that happens to go along with that little story, we'll always show you guys in the show notes. But just kind of a fun way to peek into our lives. So Megan, what is happening in your house this week?
Well, I mean, this week we're recording on a Monday and the week's really just beginning. But I will say for the last 2 weeks, and this is very similar to what's been going on in your house, and you can talk about what happened in your house. There's just been sick.
Mm.
There's just been so much sick.
Yeah.
So I've actually been really busy with work and thought that I was going to have a couple of weeks to really ramp up what I was doing and it was going to work out great. And then Clara basically missed, I'm going to say, 7 days in the last 10 days of school because she would either just not go or she'd go. And then after a couple hours, I get that call.
Yes.
And it always and finally the secretary would be like, you know, I'm going to try to keep her. I'm going to see if I can talk her out of it because we couldn't even really tell if she wasn't running a fever. And then we couldn't really tell if she was really sick or just sick of school, you know?
Yeah, I have had those calls.
Yeah. But ultimately, most of the times it ended up I had to go get her. And so it just kind of, you know, just throws everything off. She never got scary sick, but just nights were all messed up.
Yeah.
She was waking up all night having weird dreams, you know, coming down and telling us about them. They didn't make any sense. She thought things happened that didn't happen. Like, I think
I wonder if she was she feverish?
Yeah. I mean, not out of control fevers, but I think she's one of those kids when she has a fever, she gets those weird fever dreams that seem very vivid to her.
Yeah.
So it's just been like a little bit of kind of like lost weeks.
Yes.
You have those where they just kind of go, you're like, what happened? Like, nothing really got done. You just kind of had this illness. And then Owen stayed home one day and stood in front of the toilet for like 3 hours. He never did throw up, but he just stood in front of the toilet, just waiting to throw up. Finally, I was like, you could just lay down with a bowl, honey. That's okay, too.
Aww.
So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what's been going on in our house.
Yeah. Well, what's going on? What's going to come up for you? Maybe it's what's looking ahead. You have anything fun going on this week? Back to real life.
Now it's back to real life, right? So No, I'd like to get back on a nice dinner time schedule. It involves most people and not just the ones who can stand or sit, you know, who can sit at the table. And I think, you know, we've got kind of a normal week coming up. We're babysitting a family, two little kids that we know, two little boys that we know this weekend. So they'll be around all weekend. That'll be fun.
Fun.
Other than that, no, not a lot. What about you? You've had also sick.
We also have had sick. I mean, I should have knocked on all the wood because right in like mid-January, I was thinking to myself that we have had like an extraordinarily healthy winter. And I think this always is the case with our family is we do kind of skate through November and December and the holidays and even Violet's birthday, which is toward the end of January. And I'm always like, I can't believe we haven't been sick. And then it hits. So for us, it was like a high fever respiratory thing. They thought it was RSV. I don't think it was. It doesn't matter. It was that type of a, and Violet actually like was so sick. So the fever lasted for so long that they sent us to the ER. It wasn't like lights flashing ambulance ER. Right. It was just like, we'd been to the pediatrician 3 days in a row and they had tried antibiotics and the antibiotics weren't working, which come to find out it was just viral. That's why. But 6 days is 6 nights is a long time to have a high fever.
Yeah.
So, she's much better. And so again, I know a little bit of background this evening, I'm sure. But yeah, total sick week last week. I was even sick the week before that, but this week I'm definitely wanting to get back on track and it's my birthday coming up next on Sunday. So,
yay.
And we have a 4 day weekend. Our kids have Friday off for everybody has President's Day Monday off, but I don't know if your kids have Friday off. So our public
schools don't think my kids do have President's Day off.
Oh, really?
We get Martin Luther King. I don't think we get President's
Day. Okay. So Monday, everybody's off. Friday, the public schools around here are off. So we're going to just give Reed a half day Friday anyway, and we're driving up to Santa Barbara. So so I'm feeling like putting sickness behind me, looking forward to, I kind of enjoy my birthday more as I get older, I have to say. I don't really want presents. I just want everyone to be nice to me and like to do whatever I want. So,
and I used to kind of make fun of the whole birthday week or birthday weekend thing, but like my birthday has been sort of extending now past one day. It's just an excuse to have more fun, right? Yeah. So now it's like, the day before, the day after, maybe the whole week. I mean, just kind of depending where it falls.
I kind of like the anticipation of it, like the lead up. And it's usually around President's Day weekend, but this year it's the Sunday of a 4 day weekend, which is kind of perfect. It's like, we don't have to get back to real life the next day, but we have a couple days to ease in. So I'm perfect. Just going to kind of enjoy.
Nice.
So that's what's happening in our house this week.
So shall we talk about the birth?
Let's talk about the pregnancies and the births. Oh, one more thing real quick is that I wanted to mention that our site was down. If you went to themomhour.com in the last few days and it was down, it was not you. Sorry, everybody. It's
apparently
back.
We had a spike.
Yes.
I don't exactly know what that.
We don't know what that means.
It had a spike or something happened. I don't know. It's back, but
the good news is the podcast. If you listen, in a podcast app, that was all fine. The podcast itself was always there, but the website where we post our show notes was down for a few days.
Well, so a little greedy part of me hoped that people who usually listen through the browser may have taken the opportunity.
Yeah, to go subscribe.
To go subscribe, because in that case, it wouldn't matter. We could have spikes all day and night. And you would still be able to access our show on iTunes or Podcatcher or whatever you
listen
to.
That is true. You can always find us. Okay. So let's travel back in time.
Oh, my gosh.
Tell me the last time you were pregnant. What was the year when you were pregnant with your last?
Do I have to tell you this? Okay.
Well, you don't have to. If you don't know the year.
Well, I mean, everybody. No, I know the year, Sarah. I'm just saying it makes me feel like, I don't know, not old, but just it makes me feel kind of out of it. It was 2009. And can I say there was a time of my life, and I would say there was a good solid 10 to 12 year period of my life when I was absolutely obsessed with pregnancy and birth. Like I thought, I knew I would never be a midwife. I didn't really ever see myself, first of all, putting in the education, but secondly, also just being responsible to that level.
Right.
But I really did very seriously consider becoming a doula, a birth doula, mm-hmm. or a childbirth educator. And the funny thing is, a couple of years after my last kid, I just totally stopped caring, which sounds terrible. I mean, I still love talking to other pregnant women who are really excited about their pregnancies, and I think it's awesome and magical and amazing. But it's funny how sometimes when you get out of that phase of, you know, a certain phase of your life, you just go, oh, well, that was fun.
Yeah. Move on. And it's like your brain has to make room for what's right in front of you.
Yes. Yes.
So it's not that you don't like love and appreciate that time, but it's like your brain can only like treat it now with sort of loving nostalgia.
Yeah, because it's nostalgia. Exactly.
In front of you is other like the other stuff.
Right.
The other ages.
Exactly.
So I was last pregnant just over 3 years ago. So I have a little bit more recent memory because my youngest just turned 3. But yeah, for all of you out there, all of our memories are a little rose colored. We're looking back through the blur of hindsight a little bit. So, all right, let's just start off by talking about kind of, here's what I want to talk about. When you were pregnant, how did you kind of find the type of pregnant person you were going to be? And I know you know what I mean by this. Like you either have people around you who've been pregnant. I know your sister had kids who were older, or you're reading books. Cause at this time, and like both for you and me, it was like more books and magazines and some online articles. Yeah. But at some point, like, I feel like people kind of find their way, whether it's like a more natural approach or whatever. And I'm very curious, like, how, if that happened more like with each subsequent kid, or if you started off being like, okay, I'm going this route, this feels right to me.
That's a really good question. Okay, so for me, my sister was the only person, really the only person even close to my age, she's 10 years older, but only close to my age, who I really experienced pregnancies through, right?
Right.
So, you know, I was the last of my mom and dad's kids. Like, I mean, really, yeah, she was the only person I'd really known pregnant. And she had very classically medically managed births, like induced. The first was an emergency cesarean because, well, the induction didn't really take, wasn't really emergency, but it became emergent at some point. But they were just very, you know, always epidural. It was just very kind of medically managed. And I was actually there for her, her third, Cecily, who was exactly a year to the day older than Jacob.
Okay.
And I was there for her birth.
So you weren't pregnant yet.
But I wasn't pregnant yet, but it wouldn't be long. And John was there too. He was waiting in the waiting room for me. Isn't that cute? Mm-hmm. but it was one of those, like, she got induced, it didn't take. Like, she sat all day waiting, nothing happened. They, you know, took her off the machines. Like, she got to eat some Burger King or whatever. Then the next day they started again. And so it was kind of a long and very boring process. That's what I remember. It was very kind of just anticlimactic and boring, which was fine. I mean, you don't need people screaming and rending their garments and things. But so she was the only person to really experience that through. And then when I got pregnant, I marched myself, you know, this was a very surprise situation. I was 19. And John and I marched ourselves down to the public library and I just picked up whatever books were there. And I remember like reading the chapters where it really got into the process. And I remember thinking, I don't like pain. In fact, at that time, you know, I would have, if you'd asked me any time before I got pregnant, I would have said, give me drugs. Like, I do not want to be a martyr. That does not interest me, blah, blah, blah. But I was reading about the options and like what could happen. And I just remember getting really skeeved out by most of the medical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas most of the birth stuff didn't really freak me out. It just sounded painful, you know,
right.
But I was kind of, I felt like I just got to a point where all of the management part was scarier to me than the other parts. And I just kind of flipped a switch. It wasn't like I had like a hippie mom.
Right.
My mom had really no opinion about it. At least that she expressed to me.
Right.
Everybody, most people I knew who were older, I feel like had cesareans. There was like a point, you know, in the 70s and 80s where it was very common.
Right.
I mean, it still is. It's still incredibly common. But like, I just feel like those were the stories I had heard where it was really, really medical. Or even going back to like when my sister was born, I want to say my mom may have still had like the twilight sleep thing when my sister was born.
Yeah, I think they did that into the 70s.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like I had people telling me this is how I should do it. That just seemed like the way I should do it.
Mm-hmm.
So then I had Jacob and, you know, fantasy is one thing, reality is another. And it just turned out like, you know, the all the things, the techniques that they told, that the book said were going to work really great, you know, they worked to some degree, but it still was so much more challenging than I really could have expected. And so his birth ended up being a little more medically managed than I would have liked, but not a ton, just more than I loved. And then after that, Isaac was a home birth and so Jacob's labor was probably, I don't know, 16 hours. Isaac's was 4. And then after that, it just keeps getting shorter. Like, yeah, Isaac was 4. Will was like 3, maybe. Owen was maybe 3, but it was like he was huge and his elbow was out weird. So he didn't come down. Like he kind of had his hand like wrapped around his neck and his elbow was out like he was lounging. So that took a few more pushes. And then Clara was like 2 hours. So it's
really... And so just to get specific, Jacob was born in a hospital and were all the others born at home?
Isaac was born at home and Clara was born at home. The two in the middle were born at a birth center. We lived in the Lansing area and there was a great birth center there. So, but there was, it was essentially like a home birth in a hotel situation.
Right.
You know, it was a little more like, it was a little more, I guess, official medically, but when I talk about that stuff, it's always funny to me because I really don't know what it's like to have a long home birth. I mean, that was never my experience. Right. Like I had my one hospital birth and I did get some narcotics, which I felt like made things worse, honestly, because it just made me feel out of control and crazy, but not less pain, you know?
Right.
I didn't love that. I didn't know I wouldn't love it until after I had it. Then I was like, oh, whoops. With the other ones, it was so short. I really don't feel like, I mean, I feel like I can give my opinion and like my experience, but I know it's so not applicable to so many other experiences. But the other thing I will say that's different about the other four besides Jake, you know, Jacob was very traditional, like in a hospital exam table type of bed, blah, blah, blah. The other ones were all water births. And I really, if I had to pick the one thing I feel like made the biggest difference, it was that water. I really do think that that made, for me, a huge difference. Mm-hmm. So there you go. That's like a long.
Yeah. No, I love it.
It's like the long version.
So just to jump right in, I had 3 scheduled C-sections.
Right.
So about as opposite as you can get, which is, I think, why this is so interesting. They were not elective, or at least the first one was not elective. I didn't just like pick up the phone and say, I'd
hello, C-sections are us. Yeah.
But I guess the reason, and I'll kind of like tell my C-section story in a second, but I guess the reason I started with that question is I look back and I feel like I was in an environment. I was in Phoenix, Metro Phoenix area, Arizona, which was predominantly mainstream medical care.
Yeah.
Not a lot of earthy, crunchy, natural things going on that I was aware of. Of course, there are like pockets of that everywhere and you can find your tribe. But like the people I knew, it just seemed like and I still think that about Arizona and Phoenix. It's just not known for being like super earthy, crunchy, natural. So I kind of like just went with what was around me, at least in the pregnancy part. Like, you know, I had a regular OB. And it's so funny because now I know people even in that area who see midwives and, you know, it's just funny. But at the time, it just seemed like what you did. So I went to like a pretty mainstream OB office and Allegra was breech from as early on as they could even, you know, I mean, they flip around a lot, obviously, when they're smaller, but from the time when they start to commit to head up or head down, she was breech. And I had just started my, like the childbirth classes at the hospital and ours were, it was a set of 3. So it was like 3 Monday nights. Say you went from like 6 to 9 PM. So I had had the first one. And so they talk about labor and they give you a tour of the hospital. And then by the time I went to the second childbirth class, I knew that she was breech. And I knew that there was a very good chance that I would end up in a C-section. My doctor had talked to me about doing the external version and trying to flip her and that it had a really low success rate in people like me, first time moms and a few other reasons. But so I knew, and I wasn't super, super bummed about it, but I do remember going to that childbirth class, the second of 3, and being like,
why am I here?
Shoot, nothing, none of this.
This doesn't apply.
It's very unusual. Other than breech and maybe a few other like obscure medical things, there's not a lot of times where you know your first one's going to be a C-section. There's lots, like you were saying with your sister, where you labor and end up in a C-section. But to know, and I mean, I'm talking like 32, 33 weeks on, I knew.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, there was a chance she'd flip, but they didn't think she would. And I don't remember like a huge loss. I remember thinking, I feel like I should feel more like bummed about this, but I don't. I mean, I was mostly just happy everything was looking fine on ultrasound and whatever. So I had a scheduled C-section. I will say that from all the birth stories I know that end in C-section, going in rested and knowing what to expect makes a huge difference in, I think, some of like the reactions to anesthesia and narcotics and recovering from surgery. I mean, no one C-section story is the same, but I think there's a huge difference in going in for a scheduled C-section versus
labor. And just also your expectations.
Yeah, you know, expectations.
There's so much emotion involved in that.
Labor for like 15 hours. Yeah. I mean, think how tired your body is at that point. And then you have to go through major surgery. So anyway, so I had a scheduled C-section. I will say of all my, I don't have many regrets at all in all of this, but I have one regret. And that is that I did not look into a VBAC more with my second pregnancy. That is a time where I'll just say I very much was like swept along in what my doctors were saying, I knew about VBACs and I knew that people were sort of championing them out there, but I knew a lot of people who'd had C-sections, very easy, successful, happy C-sections, you know, and didn't have, you know, their milk still came in. They still bonded with their baby. I was surrounded by quite a few quote unquote happy C-section stories. And I just didn't ask a lot of questions about whether I'd make a good VBAC candidate. And I think I would have made a great VBAC candidate. And I still do regret that I didn't at least ask the questions or look into it more with the second pregnancy. Because when I did have start to ask those questions, it was my third pregnancy. And the risk-reward conversation right. is way different. You can find information that supports it and all of that. But it was a different conversation than I would have had with my second pregnancy.
Well, and I'm a huge advocate for VBAC when the mom really wants it. I will say, I don't know where birth culture is at right now because I haven't paid close attention in a few years, but I mean, it's gone up and down so much where it also depending where you are in the country, where like 10 years ago, everyone's yay VBAC. And then 8 years ago, everyone's boo, no VBAC. And then, you know, 6 years ago, everyone's like, I don't know, maybe. It's gone up and down dramatically. Over the last, I don't even know how many years, 20? I mean,
yeah.
Where it used to be kind of, I feel like at first it was like, yeah, why not?
Right.
You know, try, what, sure. And then it kind of became, it kind of swung so far in the other direction. And I'm hoping it's come back to a middle ground where, and even like with the labor thing, I agree. I know several people who've had planned cesareans versus, you know, versus not even emergent, but just.
Right.
You know, labor for a long time right. and then end up with a cesarean. They do say that there's a lot of benefits for mom and baby if you have a trial of labor, but I think that could even be planned. I mean, I think if everyone was really, really on board with making sure like all of their best interests were, mm-hmm. everyone's best interests were covered, like maybe it's a 4-hour labor right. and then, okay, not happening.
Right.
Now let's just go ahead. It's the equipment's all there. The people right. are there. Right. It takes maybe a little bit more planning and maybe someone, right. maybe it's a little more unpredictable on their end. But I feel like, you know, there's room since it seems like this, you know, we're now, I mean, last I checked, we were like at a, you know, one third.
Yeah. I think it's about a third.
A third cesarean rate. That's a huge population. I just feel like there's so much more room to make that one third have a better experience,
yeah.
regardless of what that looks like.
Yes. Well, I kind of actually felt proud to be, not proud. No, I'm not proud of the fact that I had cesareans, but I felt really good about being a resource for people who found out during their pregnancy that they were going to have a cesarean.
Yeah.
Just because I felt like, because I had always known, I was pretty well prepared. I was able to ask a lot of questions, say, of the anesthesiologist right before. I was very, you know, I was very calm during all the pre-op stuff, which you're not always. If you've been in labor or if you had envisioned it this other way, it's like all of a sudden it's like a far right turn. Whereas for me, I kind of had the benefit and I had three of them. So I've had so right. many people over the years come to me and be like, okay, well, it's either breech. I mean, a lot of times that's the reason or whatever. And I, you know, I kind of feel like I have this good amount of knowledge about what worked, what didn't. I got a lot better about communicating with the anesthesiologist as, you know, with my second and third time and about like coming off of the medications. I mean, it's major surgery. So the things that to consider are so different. It's not, you know, it is what it is, but it's just very different than the things you read up on or consider with the traditional birth. So yeah. I did all kind of feel like it was my superpower for a while. Like I was the one to ask if you had to have a planned cesarean because I had done it three times.
Yeah. And you know, another thing, Sarah, I think, you know, and this is something I think it's very easy to forget about when you remember how we talked about milestones mm-hmm. and we purposely didn't cover like newborn and infant mm-hmm. milestones, partly because we figured that had been covered before, but partly because we're like, those are some things that people get super freaky about, you know, yeah. And we did. I did. I mean, mm-hmm. I got weird about baby stuff. I mm-hmm. got really intensely hormonally, emotionally invested mm-hmm. in what I was doing because I felt like the opposite of what I was doing negated the importance or the validity of what I was right. doing. So yeah. it was just, you That's, know, and yeah. it's just like that with birth stuff, which is so yeah. funny. Now we can have this, you know, this very healthy removed
yeah.
sort of like looking back and going, oh, like, you know, we're like, you know, buddies and we had completely yeah. different births. But, you know, yeah. had we met and yeah. you were having a planned cesarean when, you know, if we were like meeting and had both our pregnant bellies
yeah.
and I was planning a home birth and you were planning a planned yeah. cesarean, yeah, we might still be good friends, but there's always going to be that little bit of friction. Like, oh, yeah. why yeah. is she doing that? Like, why yeah. are you doing this? And I think one thing that we don't always account for is personality differences. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Jenna, my sister-in-law, we talk about all the time because you and yeah. her are like, we're sort of like, Jethers. We're, yes, we're.
I'm your work Jenna.
You're my work Jenna. You guys are planners, right?
Yeah.
So she had three cesareans, not all completely planned, but right. I think in the back of her head, she kind of, after the first, which was definitely not planned, that was emergency. Right. I think she kind of just knew, yeah, probably pretty likely that was going to go. And yeah. I think for her as a planner, it yeah. was better to know. And that gave her a feeling of a sense of control over the yeah, situation
totally.
That just gave her comfort. Where for me, I kind of like, it didn't really bother me that I was like 2.5 weeks late with one right. of my kids. I mean, it bothered me. I didn't want to wake up pregnant every day.
Right.
But it wasn't like I woke up and was like, oh my God, what this? Why am I not having this baby? Like, what's right. wrong with me? Like, what's going on? I was kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
Look how many comes. Yeah. I'm super uncomfortable. I really want him out.
Yeah.
But there wasn't that sense of like, this yeah. part has to be planned.
Yeah.
That's my personality. It's much easier for someone like me to embrace the unknown.
Right.
And that's not a strength necessarily. It's just a difference.
Right. Well, and you know? I think that that is really wise and just can be applied to so many things in especially pregnancy and birth and early motherhood, which is that like kind of to know yourself. And actually you used to write about this a lot, actually, like to know yourself, you may not know what you're getting into. Like it may be your first foray into childbirth, but you've lived with yourself for 25, 35, right. 40 years. And to kind of like allow that to be a part of the decision because everyone is totally different. This is a little tangent, but it's totally on the same topic. I had this like friend when I was a brand new mom who took her baby to the doctor and she was like, I can't get her on a nap schedule. She was like, the baby was like 4 months old. And the doctor mm-hmm. looked at her and he was like, are you a scheduled person? And she was like, no, I hate schedules. And he was like, then your baby doesn't need to be a scheduled person.
Right.
Like, you know, kind of like look inward first. And then of yeah. course, like we have to do the research and trust the outside sources too. But I think when it's so new, it's easy to want to ignore that part because it's like, well, what do I know? I don't know anything about this. But you're so right that like we are who we are. And that is,
yeah.
it's not the whole puzzle, but it's a piece of the puzzle for
it's
sure.
It's a big piece of the puzzle. And I think sometimes like who the people are around you can unduly, unfairly sometimes influence you when it really, I feel like when you're the mom, you get to decide. So, you know, it yes. doesn't really matter what your mother or your mother-in-law's preferences would have been. And yes, you should take into account your husband or co-parents'
right.
ideas. But really, you're the one either pushing this baby out or having it, you know, removed
having
from your
major,
body.
Major so having abdominal surgery.
Major abdominal surgery. One way or the other, I mean, you're doing the work.
Yeah.
So I kind of – and you're going to be the one going through, like, the really hard emotional stuff around that, whatever your either yeah. choice or non-choice. It yeah. might not be a choice, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. I, yes, know yourself. You're totally, you're so right. But also just get really okay with that. Like,
yes.
What you are and who you are and who cares what the people, I know it's easy for me to say who cares, but
well, that,
the
moms, no, I mean,
the mom's
that's
group
like thing.
But truly, because here we are, how many years later? Not that yeah. many years later.
Yeah.
Saying it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It truly does not.
Yeah. And a positive birth experience can be had. If you are okay with,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, so,
yeah.
So it, the positive birth experience doesn't have to look like a checklist. It can look like you participating in the process in the way that feels yeah. good. That the kind of the reason I wanted to start with this question is I often wonder if I would have been like swayed in a different direction, if I'd been surrounded by different types of people, if
Maybe.
I'd been in a more like home birthy, natural. So it's kind
you
of
might
like
have interesting be, you question. Might have become the very planny home birther, you know?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it's all like, and another thing that I think is really important to consider is, although, I mean, she was breech. I don't know a whole lot of breech home births. I mean, that is even a little bit, and I know it happens, and I'm not, you know, right. even right. then, I think that that's the decision you make in the environment you're in, and you right. know what your options are, right? Like, you know, you're the one who knows. If you go and you see your OB, who's the only OB that you have right. available to you, and you think he or she sucks, then, you know, your choice might be different than someone right. who has multiple options. So right. There's a lot of questions, and I'm not even going to dig into like the right, because I just feel like it's so personal and so right. private. But you never know. Like, yes, it would be unusual for you to end up with a breech home birth.
Yeah. Well, vaginal, I just didn't do a lot of that like soul searching at right. that time.
Yeah.
And so I just went with it for better or for worse. And I have no regrets, but it is interesting to think about if you were surrounded or if you had,
yeah,
you know, different people around you, would things have been different? It's just, yeah. it's kind of like an interesting thing to ponder. I'm curious, listeners, if you're pregnant out there, I'd love to hear from people how you feel you make decisions. If it is like from a, like, do your homework, do your research. If it's just go with what, you know, feels right at the time, because I think for a lot of us, the first time pregnancy, it's all new. So at some yeah. point you find your, like you said, you went to the public library and something kind of like spoke to you
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's really interesting. I don't think everyone finds their way the same, but I think it's interesting.
Well, I have two actually, before we move on or whatever you're going to ask me. You can't ask me that yet. I was going to say two other things about that. And one is, I completely lost my train of thought, but I know what it was. Okay. So one thing I was going to say is you can't downplay, at least for me, I'm a very intuitive person. That's, you know, right. one of the things that I am. So for me, a big reason, I think, even with my first, it was a little more medically interventive than I would have liked, but it overall was pretty good experience for a first baby, especially being, you know, at this point 20, the nurses like treated me like I was an idiot. Like, it, you know, yeah. that there was a lot of stuff going on that sort of set me up to fail. And I feel like even all those things considered, I had a pretty good experience. But a big part of that was I switched providers at 33 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So I had been seeing just kind of like a big OB office.
Yep.
And I was rotating through these doctors. And I finally came in and I remember asking this doctor questions and he wouldn't answer any of the questions. It was like, he would just say, well, you don't have to worry about that now. You don't have to worry about that now. You don't have to worry about that now. And I thought, well, when am I going to worry about it then? Right. And I went home and just thought, and I'm always like I'm a good patient. I'm a nice girl.
Yeah.
I don't give people trouble. Usually I'm actually outgrowing that. The closer I get to 40,
yeah,
the worse I am at all of those things. But I mean, at that phase of my life, I was like, I'm going to be like the best, like little, you know, 20-year-old pregnant girl.
Yeah.
And I'm going to seem really like educated about it. And I'm going to go along. I'm going to go with the flow and I'm going to do what I'm told. I'm just going to be a really good patient. And I got to that appointment. I like went home and thought, I don't feel safe going there. I just feel like I'm going to end up messed up somehow. Like, it just didn't seem right. And so I went home and started looking around, and at first I really didn't think switching was an option. I had read you probably can't after 31 or 32 weeks, but I ended up calling. It was an office that, you know, it was an OB's office. So they had two nurse midwives, and I called and I spoke to one of the nurse midwives and just said, here's what's going on with me. I feel like I just needed like someone to talk to me for more than 5 minutes. Yeah. And she said, yes, we'll get you in. And I had no risk factors. I mean, I was basically their dream come true.
Right.
Like a 20-year-old, healthy 20-year-old. They're like, yes, please, please to come in here. You look well nourished.
Yeah.
But it was that, honestly, even maybe like the birth part wasn't even that different, but just the fact that I had their undivided attention for like the last, you know, six visits made a huge difference. Like, something about that was very empowering, and it made my experience different, even if it wouldn't have ended up, even if it would have ended up being a similar experience medically. Right. So that is one thing. And I forgot the other thing. Doesn't matter. We'll get back to it.
I mean, I love that. And I really admire that. I often, I mean, just how I work is I often like don't realize that, say a provider or a method or something isn't quite right until I figure out later what is.
I've
had several things in my life that are like that, where it wasn't terrible, but I didn't realize till way later, like, oh, that was not really how I wanted things. And I think we're all like that. So I'm high-fiving you for kind of like, you know, having that at 20 just to be like, yeah, no, this is not working.
Right.
We do get better at that as we get older, I think.
I think you're right. And at the time, honestly, though, that is a resource thing. And I think that that may have been I can't directly relate that to any one like a tribe. I wasn't online at the time. Like that wasn't part of it. But I do feel like someone must have given me that strength or that feeling like you can do this. And maybe it was like Sheila Kitzinger and it was her book. I don't even remember. Yeah. I couldn't tell you, but it came from someplace. So I do think
that's great.
I think it's really smart to lean on those resources that speak to you early on because you never know what nugget you might get from that.
Yeah.
You know,
and now there are just so many ways to get connected to the information that feels right to you. And it can be a slippery slope in the other direction too, but
You know, that's why I like books sometimes. Yeah. I know like now we're so connected to other moms and that's great. And here we are two moms talking to each other. And it would seem a little disingenuous for me to say like, you know, get all your information from not here, not from the internet. But the great thing about a book is it just says what it says and then it lies there. It doesn't, it's not going to argue with you in a comment section or in a Facebook thread. If
it's not going to like reverse itself, like it's not going to.
Yeah. If it doesn't like what you choose, it's not going to show up in your bedroom at night on your smartphone. It's just going to stay in its book and you can you can open it or not.
Yeah.
And it's like it's safe in that way. And I feel like I really feel for newer moms now. I mean, I know I went through it a little bit with like forums and stuff like that when my kids were little. And I've talked before on the show about how I had my run-in with the militant AP group. Many of the moms who I'm still connected with and are great, we all kind of grew out of it a little bit.
Yeah.
But during its most militant phase, it was very unhealthy in a lot of ways. And still, though, there weren't push notifications.
Right.
I could shut it off.
Yes.
And I do feel, you know, if I was like a newer mom now and trying to figure this stuff out and didn't know exactly what I thought, I feel like the pressure must be just increasing.
Right.
And much more intense.
And the availability, we've talked a lot on the show about the availability of information being great, but being then also completely overwhelming.
Yes.
Like it's almost simpler when you just go with what your like one pregnant friend is doing, which is what I did. Like I had one pregnant friend and I just did everything she did, you know?
Yeah. Can I tell you though, my sister, Catherine, who was 10 years older than me. So like when, after I'd had, she was there for Owen's birth.
Okay.
And then, Quinn was born before that. So she was there for, I didn't know. She was like there for one of my kids' births. I don't even know which one. And so I sort of inspired her with her last baby, who she had at 38, to try to have a natural birth. And she did. And it, you know, the thing is, it was also a super short labor. So by the time she got to the hospital, she was like one of those moms being like wheeled down, like, it's coming out. You know, so it's not even like, who knows how it would have gone. But she just did something completely different with her last baby. So I think if that's medically available to you, you can also just change things up.
Yeah,
you know, you don't have to, you're not like stuck necessarily. I mean, it's different going from a cesarean to a not cesarean.
Right.
That's a completely different thing.
But still, I think we get smarter with each one. Yeah. And if we're fortunate enough to have a few tries at it, why not? I mean, I got smarter even within the system of the cesarean. The last time my recovery was best, I was like the best advocate for what I wanted. And you get better. So why not?
Yeah. And I think for her, she just decided like, man, I don't really want to be induced and lay around for 48 hours waiting for a baby to come out and getting really hungry. So for, you know, and I think that it's okay as well. Like I know people who say like, they really just like checking into the hospital and, you know, kind of being taken care of for a day or two. And who am I to say anyone should do anything any differently? Like that's, I'm so far like past that, which makes me sound like I don't care. And that's not true at all. Because if someone wants a natural birth, I will I will fight hard to help them figure out a way to have it. Cause if you want something, if that's really what you want and that's how you feel comfortable and safe, I truly believe most cases that's going to be the safest thing for you and for your baby. But you know, some people just don't really care.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, I don't care if you don't care. It's not, it's not like a personal thing for me in that way. Maybe that's why I'm not a doula.
Yeah.
Maybe the end, maybe that's why I didn't end up. I'm just a little too live
and live. In like your next phase. Like maybe you'll decide when you turn 60 that you want to go back.
No, you know what happened? No, you know what happened when my sister went into labor? So.
Oh yeah. I've heard this story, but tell it because I don't think our listeners have.
So I was considering becoming a doula. I was 28. My sister's 38. She goes into labor. She calls me at 2 a.m. and I laid there and was like, are you freaking kidding me? You can choose any time to go into labor. I have to get out of bed at 2. And the minute I'm like pulling my boots on, and at the time I had a nursing baby and, you know, but I'm still like pulling my boots on all grumbly, grumbly. And I thought, I have no business.
Yeah.
I have no business going into birth as any kind of a calling, because if I can't get myself out of bed at 2 a.m. for my sister, you know.
Yeah. This is not the right fit.
This is not the right fit.
Speaking of that, we have to throw a shout out to the show that we both love, which is called The Midwife. I always feel like everyone has already seen this show because I kind of came to it late, but I keep talking to people who it's not on their radar. So if you're in this birth and pregnancy phase of life and you are not watching Call the Midwife, which is a BBC drama series, it's available. I think it's on Amazon and Netflix. I mean, it's pretty widely available now. It's so good. It's 1959 London, like period.
I mean, honestly,
piece,
if
British,
you like period, if you like Britain, if you like BBC, if you like birth, if you like touching crap that makes you cry, you would
like
the show.
Perfect in so many ways.
Yes, absolutely.
So yeah, we love Call the Midwife. Okay, so I do want to talk about kind of our pregnancy symptoms themselves, because
I think that's
kind of a fun and light topic. Yeah. And I don't know much about your pregnancy. So were you a happy pregnant person? Were you sick? Did you have heartburn? Were you fat? Tell me.
Well, I mean, I was pregnant 5 times. So the
And that's another question. Were they all similar? Were they wild?
No, not really. I mean, they were, I'm not going to, I had fairly easy pregnancies, but the first one I threw up like 3 times a day for, I don't know. And the weird thing was that the throwing up started much later than it should have. So I kind of thought I had like I'd skipped it. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm off scot-free. And then suddenly one day I'm just barfing all the time. And yes, my face got very fat with all of my babies. But I didn't gain like a ton of weight. It's just like it was my face just like every time I look back at a picture of myself at the end of a pregnancy, I just crack up. I just look like a chipmunk. But all the symptoms, I had them all. Like I had hemorrhoids. I had varicose veins in weird places, including like places one does not want to get a varicose vein. I had just like, I mean, I kind of ran the gamut. Like 2 pregnancies, I had terrible acid reflux.
Did you relatively enjoy pregnancy? I mean, some people really hate it. Some people really love it.
I really loved like months 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah.
I loved 8 and 9 a little less.
Yeah.
But I always felt, you know what I loved about pregnancy? I loved how special it felt. It felt like everybody around you is in on this little secret with you.
Yes,
and
I
you're sort of exalted in a way, and like people are looking at you and thinking, oh my god, you know, it was
I could not have said it better. I feel exactly the same way.
And it was, I do, like sometimes I think about that and never having that again, and it makes me a little sad because that was just an awesome feeling. I loved the
anticipation. Like it's like your own little, it's like having your own like little buddy and your own little secret.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like, oh my gosh, one day this like person who I don't even know yet is going to come out.
And it changes so quickly. So it kind of satisfies that like, oh, something new is happening. And like now, I agree.
And I remember with the first two, I would, you know, like I had like little pregnancy journals, and like every day you'd write something down. And of course you'd run out of stuff to say, because what is there to say? I mean, from one day to the next, I mean, it's not that different. But it just was a very special time, I think, with all of them. I mean, I had several unplanned pregnancies. There always be like that, oh, crap moment. But for me, it was always very quickly replaced with, oh, yay, you know, just super excitement. And we love babies. Like John and I both kind of just want to get our hands on someone. Someone around us needs to have a newborn. So like if someone could just get on that, please, because we need to get our hands on a baby.
We have on my street, which I've talked about, my neighborhood is great and there's a ton of kids. But Violet's the very youngest of all the kids and she's 3. So everybody else is well older than that, mostly elementary age. And we have this neighbor who just had a new baby, and we've all agreed that like, we have to hold ourselves back from being like the
creepy
stalker. Like,
yeah.
Hi, like knock on
the door. Can we touch your baby? We just want to smell him.
Do you need help now? Can I hold your baby now?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was really sick. Very, very, very nauseous all the time, 24 hours. With some pregnancies, I threw up more than others, but it didn't matter whether I threw up or not. I felt like throwing up every waking moment without reprieve. For a pretty long time, like I remember with Allegra being like, I thought it was going to be 12 weeks and then 13 and then 14. And I think it was more like 15 or 16 weeks that I stopped being nauseous with the first two. And then little Violet, the special child that she is, kept me ill, like round the clock nauseous till like 25 weeks. And even after that, I had food aversions the whole rest of the pregnancy. I mean, I wasn't nauseous, but like food didn't really. In fact, I remember after I had her, just euphoria at how hungry, because you know how hungry you are when you're nursing and like everything, you just want to eat all the time. But it was even that much better because I realized like I haven't eaten like meat in like months because it just didn't sound good. So even after I wasn't nauseous anymore, I just, nothing sounded good. So I like nausea was definitely my biggest, you know, typical, yeah, like I wasn't in the hospital, like with the, you know, like Kate Middleton, but I just was constantly.
Is it called hyperemesis?
Hypergravidarium or something, like I don't know. Wrong.
Well,
but
who knows?
No,
I thought hypergravidarium isn't gravidarium. Isn't that how many babies you have?
I have no idea.
Well, we'll have to do. Obviously, neither one of us. We need to brush up on our preggies.
Yeah, please do not take medical advice from us, especially in the evening. But no, I just, yeah, I was really, really nauseous. I still gained weight. Everyone's like, oh yeah. You know, the people who are really sick and don't gain weight the first trimester, that was not me. Because I just ate bagels and
carbs. Well,
constantly.
Yes, carbs.
Like I never wanted to eat and yet I always had to eat. So I think like the guidelines for the first trimester was like 0 to 5 pounds. And I always gained like 13 in the first trimester. And then it kind of evened out a little bit, but.
It's called hyperemesis gravidarium.
Oh, so there's.
We were both right.
But I'm glad I didn't pull that out of nowhere.
But I'm pretty sure I think grava also refers to how many babies you've had.
Okay.
Because as I recall, I was called like a multi or like a major gravidarium or
summa
something.
Summa cum laude gravidarium.
Like I was, yes, I was like, holy crap, what? Yeah, I was, yeah.
You win. You won all the prizes.
I was gravida. Gravida indicates the number of, thank you, Google. Gravida indicates the number of times a woman has been pregnant.
Okay. So, I totally did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So every time I talk about how nauseous I was, there's always a story about someone who was literally hospitalized because they couldn't.
Yeah, and
that was not me. But just to have like, just no break. I mean, morning, noon, and night, every waking moment, I was nauseous for many, many weeks. That was the hardest part. After that, I was pretty good. And I was usually even good toward the end. Like I didn't have as many of, I would say, of like the end of pregnancy discomforts. I mean, sleep was hard and
you get like sciatica and all that, you know. Do you get that sciatica? I had that with several.
That's like nerve pain, like in your leg or hips.
It kind of comes like starts from your butt.
Okay.
And like runs down either through your butt, down your leg, or over your hip and through your leg.
Okay.
And for me, it would mean like if we were out shopping, I couldn't stop walking. So if John wanted to stop and like look at something, I would just have to like walk circles around him or stand there like a stork with my leg in the air. Like I'd have to stand with my leg like bent up like a stork.
Did you
that was dumb.
Swelling at all? I mean, you had those big
babies.
I didn't really have
that
too much
was never swelling. Really. I never had blood pressure issues. I know it's like it's terrible. I feel almost guilty sometimes because it just was pretty textbook. I mean,
right.
Yeah, I obviously had some discomfort. Like I had discomforts. I had things that weren't great.
Did you have heartburn? I always heard about pregnancy heartburn and I never really got it till the third time, of course. And that was like wicked.
That's when I had gallbladder pain with my, I want to say fourth and fifth and acid refluxy heartburn where I couldn't fall asleep. I had like sleep propped up on pillows and I mean all that stuff, you know, but I think that's just, I mean, for most of us, that's just kind of par for the course. And then some people end up with like, you know, two of my best friends ended up with super high blood pressure and that really affected not only the ends of their pregnancies, but their desire to ever get pregnant again.
Yeah.
I never had anything like that. So I, you know, I have to like really thank my lucky stars for that kind of thing because it just it never was an issue.
No. And I think that's true. And worth saying for our listeners too, that you and I have pretty happy birth stories, happy pregnancies. They look different, but there's, you know, there's just a lot. There's a lot that can be really hard, from infertility to really difficult pregnancies to really difficult births. And all of that is, I think, really helpful to talk about and to be educated about. And by no means are we glossing over that. We just are sharing what's personal to us, which is maybe relatively boring.
Yeah.
We're boring. Pregnancies.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, well, so you do sometimes miss being pregnant, but you've never had that like, oh my gosh, I think I want to be pregnant again. We've talked about this. If listeners, if you don't know, we did a whole episode about how do you know when you're done having babies. So if you want to have that discussion, that's a whole separate episode. But I'm just curious.
Well, no,
do you
ever
just still look at a pregnant person and be like, I wish that was me?
Okay. So, you know, like physically, I cannot be pregnant again.
Right.
So that's a big part of it. I can't really think that way, you know. If I could, what I will say about this, here's what I'll say. I don't miss being pregnant necessarily. I don't want to go back in time that way because I feel like I've come out of that and I'm in a completely different phase of my life, which I'm really enjoying. But I do miss the simplicity of it. And we've talked about this as well, like the focus, that simplicity of focus, you know, like this is what's going to happen. I'm going to have a baby.
Right.
And then I'm going to take care of that baby. And that is going to be the most important thing in my life for a while. And I feel like that's something that I might never have again, you know, where it's like everything is about my biology.
Right.
I guess when I die, I mean, honestly, you have one job, you cook this baby and then get it into the world and then care for it. And that's something that I'll never have again in that way. And I do. I miss that. Probably not enough to do it again, but I did. I would have missed it enough to do it 5 times.
Yeah.
So there you go. It's a pretty compelling thing that we do, you guys, like, you know.
Agreed. And sometimes it's easier to see that in hindsight, especially if it is difficult or if you're having a hard pregnancy or if you have other little kids. So it's easy for us to kind of wax poetic about it. I just had one final thought. I had a really close friend, and all three of our first three babies were born very close in age. I mean, the first two sets, like number one and number two baby, were within a couple weeks of each other. And then our third babies were like 6 months apart. And she decided to have a fourth. And that was really like, that was probably the first time where it was like, that could have been me. You know, like her Violet equivalent, like her toddler is now a big sister. Like Violet's not going to be a big sister, you know? And so I haven't had too many of those. And I've talked on this show, like Violet's a really good reminder that I'm done every day. And she's a handful and I feel very complete. But that was definitely the most in your face that I've had where it's like, well, that's a different path that it was.
But you know, it's so funny because I had more, you know, I always, when I was young, thought, oh, I'll probably have four or five, but there was a time in my life when I got to three and was like, yeah, I think I'm pretty good at three. That fourth pregnancy was kind of a kick in the old ovaries.
Yeah.
And you know what though? Everything was okay. Likewise, I have friends who thought they'd have bigger families and got to one or two and that was enough for them. And you know what? That's okay. Like in the end, most of us figure out a way to work with what we got. And I think it's going to be okay. I kind of feel like every time we do a show, at the end, like our whole summary for the whole show is it's going to be okay, Sarah.
It's all good. It's all good.
It's going to be okay. Like it maybe doesn't feel good now. It maybe doesn't feel even close to okay.
It's not as simple as being like good or bad. Sometimes it's like fraught with some of those mixed feelings, but it's still going to be okay.
It's still going
to
be okay.
It is episode 7. I wanted to point out it's one of our most popular episodes. It's called Are You Done Having Babies? And so this whole topic, we went in detail, and it's episode 7 that you can find at themomhour.com. And I'll link to it in the show notes for this episode too. But even after this lovely conversation, I don't have a big desire to be pregnant or have another childbirth experience. But I am sending love to all those listeners out there who are. I know there's a lot of our listeners who are pregnant.
Yeah. So. And, you know, I think that if, you know, you talked earlier about having a tribe, and I think if I could come away with like one piece of advice besides the just read some books because they won't haunt you necessarily. Yeah. Like those people who wrote them are probably old now and they're not invested in your personal birth story. So, you know, but the other thing I think is if you do feel the need, and obviously we all need like that person or those people that we're going to talk to, just narrow it down. Find like one person.
Yeah.
Who you can talk to. You can send me an email. Like you can send Sarah an email. Yeah. Whatever your feeling is, like, if you want to go the more natural route, if you have a planned cesarean, whatever it is, like go to that one person who's going to support you and make you feel good. And also not, you know, BS you. Like, that's what you need. You don't need all of the internet.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think that's
And you really also don't need all of the moms at your yoga studio or your childbirth class or whatever it is. You know, that's too much. It's like too much, too many opinions, too many people who really don't know what they're talking about and are invested maybe in a way that makes them unable to step outside.
Right.
As I once was unable to step outside my own experience. Like you don't need that necessarily. You need like that one or two people who are like really on your side, who care enough to tell you the truth, but aren't going to beat you over the head with their opinion. Yeah. I don't know.
No, I think that's
probably true. That could probably apply to all of life, but
Well, I think that's a challenge. That hello at themomhour.com is our email. So
yeah. I challenge you to send me your.
If you are planning a home birth or have a scheduled C-section
or anything in between, we've had lots of different experiences. Yes. Just send it to
us. That's so true. So yeah, let's wrap up. Email us hello at themomhour.com. This episode will be at themomhour.com. And oh, also just wanted to say, last episode I threw it out there, or a couple episodes ago, to come join us on Facebook and like our Facebook page and interact with us there. And we got so many people doing that. So thank you guys for, we just were seeing new names and faces pop up on Facebook. So thank you. And that is all I got. I wish you a good evening.
Good evening as well.
All right. Thanks everybody. Talk to you next week.
Next time.